it. And is, as Cyberpunk states, it will be high-tech and low-life. So we begin our story. Once upon a time, okay, what's interesting about current state in our field is that the time of a concern, time to market is very important. People are accelerating their development process. They are pushing not ready yet solutions to the market. And it came that far that even solution products themselves are not secure. So all situation is evolving to the point that IT market is going down. IT security market is stalling. It's not going to evolve, as Kaspersky research states. And the only area of security knowledge or IT knowledge that is promising to rise higher next years, let's say numbers, would be operational security. So security assessments, penetration tests, security consulting, this would be the area that are promising growth in 10 or 12%. So we get this typical cyberpunk scenario, but it's interesting how we get to this. And if you are talking with customer or if you are talking with somebody who is trying to understand the whole situation, how this gets so far, can you yourself explain it without just figure pushing on numbers from consultants or these magic quadrants? Can you yourself build model to explain how all this gets so far? Here comes the example how you can try to explain people, build model of thinking and explain processes. For example, of the process that I've spoke about previously. So we have, basically we have insecurity of systems, of states. It's a major concern. Insecurity got a positive link. It enforces a number of incidents. A number of incidents pushes people to react and they initiate response. But then it introduces security controls. More and more and more. And all this positive link give system more complexity. And complexity brings insecurity. So it's positive link, enforcing loop, how it's called in a system diagrams concept. And only way it could be balanced or we can get out of this loop is if we introduce security controls that have negative link on incidents, that are lowering incidents. But that's how they are designed. That's what they are by design. But it's sadly, it's not always the case. For example, from practice, if you have two security controls, updates system that brings updates, and other system is used for monitor vulnerability scan or monitoring system, they're actually duplicating each other. Not by design, but it happens that if you are fixing and giving update system fully correct functioning, it happens that vulnerability scanning process shows zeros problems because they're basically designed on same knowledge base, on vulnerability basis. It might be not always be the case with different systems, but in some points it is. Okay, it's kind of philosophical part. It might be not that interesting. Maybe we want to skip all this analytics part and get down to business with our security ninjas who are working in the field and doing practical research in their fields. Okay, then it's simple. We need to choose methodology. Either a WASP for technology-specific, if we can use technology-specific methodology, it's plain project. We can use one of many existing as an example of WASP. If we have a specific task and it's more task-oriented contract, then we can go with something like PTS, penetration test execution standards, and it pretty well describes what steps we need to take, what artifacts we need to implement, and so forth. Then we can be more generic, use some generic concept like OSSTM, or be more result-oriented. All these ideas works, but the problem is that the general process that described here, even if it's taken and understood by people who are working in the field, often it's a problem to implement it practically. And we get confusion. Person who is going down in the field, literally go down all the way, don't read it, you'll find it later, I guess, this mind map. It's basically consists of many, many, many problems, like, for example, a penetration tester who was asked to vacuum clean bug in hardware. He was given a vacuum cleaner and was asked to remove bugs and dust from boxes because it was a major concern that it was the problem of system hangs. And so forth, and we've had tens and hundreds of this type of issues. More technical ones, for example, is many people who practice saw that, I guess, would be hacking the system that is out of scope. For example, IP address confusion, or customer gave some wrong addresses, and so forth. And you need to understand that system was wrong, and you need to change, and you need to cover traces, I don't know, and figure out what you need to penetrate and what you don't. So if a straight ahead approach doesn't work, maybe we need to return back and turn back to our philosophy, how we approach things. And here is major pitfall that I see pretty often, a situation when security researchers or security analysts start to think like creators. They start to examine system and understand systems in the way creators think of them. They want to understand every component of the system, every function of the system, and they're getting too bugged in the system, and basically they're repeating a creator's work. And of course, one analyst that is assigned to the project, he basically can't do the same amount of work that creator's done. He can't get in his head all ideas that were brought to the system by creators. And he's stalling, and you've seen what happened with this guy in previous slide. Another concept is user view. It's also a good way to understand the system from the point of the user, how user could think of the system, what the concepts are used, and so forth. But the problem would be that not everything users see is what system is really is. So here comes our regular mantra, yeah, in the security field, in operation security, that would be critical thinking. So we need to understand only, to figure out only things that are there, that we can prove are there, and only things that we are really seeing in the system, in the component, in the code, and so forth. And the other opposite, I would say, concept would be out of the box thinking, when we are trying to figure out stuff that pretty much doesn't exist, maybe anywhere but in my head or head of the researcher, and trying to implement these steps and find scenarios that somehow got implemented without knowledge even of creators. It's modes of thinking, and in any way technical expertise is required. Guys who are going down to business, they need technical knowledge. It's out of question. But it's very important not to repeat work of creators during analysis work. It's not creation, it's analysis, different mode of thinking. Then you get to the real enterprise, real big system, and first impression and first feeling that security researcher is getting is that everything in this company suddenly starts to be rotating around this project and his personality. Every system could be stopped if it requires. Everybody would be talking to him if he requires. Every project and every system operation is understood, and he can, on demand, switch it off. It's how I understand it's always not the case. So from the basic management standpoint, plan, do, check, act, security analyst or security auditor could be introduced in the system in any stage of any project to verify things, to clear off risks, and you very well need to understand borders, constraints that you are constrained with due to business demands, because business is above all the things, yeah, and it dictates what you are going to do, what you are going to get allowed to. And I'm putting it not to say that business is more important. You get me right, but if it's maybe more next step for security auditors and for security practitioners to be able to cooperate with business, to be able to play by their rules. Because many people could bring down, for example, SCADA systems if they get access to it. But it's much more challenging, it's much harder to implement correct security assessment procedure that wouldn't interfere with business process. Okay, we understood that we are in a complex situation and we need to separate and split out stuff that it's not meaningful for us, that is not required for us, and we understand that we need to have it done. And here comes smart people in any team. There is at least few of them. He said, Pareto, okay, 20% of effort gives you 80% results. Yeah, perfect. How to use it in practice? How to use it in planning? Because what's interesting that Pareto principle is proves to be always right, always correct, but only when you analyzing backwards, looking for statistics backwards. But how to use practice, how to use it in practice, how to have it used in planning. Okay, you can try and understand that there are a few different concepts that could be used. For example, knapsack problem, how to pack most valuable amount of stuff in limited space. It's a case actually for Pareto principle. You can and some methods suggesting you use it in planning. But anyway, in any case, you are operating with statistics. You need to understand how long operations take. For example, to scan one web application, which consists of 100 lines of code, which is written on language X and which implements basic user scenarios Y and so forth. You need to be able to predict with some level of certainty what type of scenario you are running into and look back in your history and your experience to use this principle, then it works. Okay, so we figured out what to do, what next? Basically, we are not working alone, we are working in the team. Few concepts of project management. You should understand as not as a project manager, but as a member of the team of the project. Waterfall is a project when project organized on stages and If you've ever seen Microsoft Project, you get the picture. You can read about work breakdown strict and so forth. It's interesting area, and actually it's often used in penetration testing and in security assessment projects, because you have a month of preparations, 2 weeks working in premises, 1 week of external scanning and so forth, so then 2 months of report, something like this. But often it starts in a pretty bad way, because our area is an area of research. So it would be pretty hard to predict what you are coming running into. And what I suggest and what we often think when planning projects would be agile concept, which is pretty popular now in software development community. And I wouldn't elaborate it more, because everybody, I guess, heard about that. But good idea would be to try, maybe in some next project, to implement agile concepts. And most interesting artifact, should I mention, would be burn down chart here, because it's pretty close to the procedures of penetration testing. When you have additional work items coming right into your face during the project, and you need to change scope during the project and coordinate it with customer, it's pretty close to what we are doing, and it's a good idea to try it in practice. Okay, then one big executive officer of a big corporation said that half time he is working as a postman and half time he is working as a communicator. Yeah, he's working on communication problems. And from my practice, most problems in many activities that here in developing something or analyzing something, work in security field, are related to communication. Would it be in area of internal communication in the team, or if we say about if we try to figure out how to talk to stakeholders in the side of customer? It's a very complicated issue, and it demands from manager or analyst who is often taking part in communication process to understand that, once again, understand that your project, hacking is cool, but your project is not a business objective. And you will be talked to by for the time that management on the customer or technical specialist, chief information officer, or even chief information security officer, maybe the only guy who will be giving you much attention. So, and it's even more problems to bring with communications. We have many problems already, yeah? So we don't need to add more problems having bad communications. And what could be tips, tricks for communication setup? Yeah, we have basics, we have checklists, we have interview procedures, we have messaging, phone calls, system to ticketing systems, all that, yeah, everything's perfect. But all these means of communication could run to a stall when communication is rounding and nothing happened. No decision is made, no papers are ready for being signed and so forth. I've ran across a few tricks that could be used, and once again, you can try it in practice. A good idea would be not to mention their names, just to try to use them, but for you to be able to search for them, I have mentioned them there. In our area, you are always running into people asking what's wrong with you, what's wrong with your work, what's wrong with you guys at in general, what is not working, how did this happen. It's everything is also negative. And people are starting to fear to lose their job, to lose their face, as we were talked. And it's basically true. Yeah? And people who did security audits have their own list of people fired after their audits. So it's, yeah, sad but true. How can you possibly change it? Think of changing it. You might try to run a technique called appreciative inquiry. This technique implies you go in asking people what is working right, what is good in their system, what achievements that they made, what security controls, if we speak of them, are working better of all others. They will speak about good things and bad things too, but your message will be always positive. It's a simple concept, but it's pretty interesting to my understanding. Okay, if you are coming into a situation when you can push harder and everything is reported to be very nice and very working and everything is okay, another approach would be constructive controversy. When you try actually to criticize almost everything and look for reaction. It's stress testing of architectures or of engineers. You should be careful with that, but at some point, their concept of everything is good breaks, and you are able to get further in your analysis. Another interesting idea would be five whys. It's an approach when you keep asking the same question over and over again. It seems pretty straightforward and stupid, but once I've tried it, it's pretty interesting. Works like this, like that you are running into a person. He said, okay, we have incident happened. Data stolen, system compromised. Why, you ask? And this person replies to you, because we have bad password policy. Why is that? Because nobody thought about general policy, and we have bright guys who are using smart passwords, and we have not so smart guys who use too simple passwords. Why? Because we have two departments, and so forth, so forth. It's interesting that from one question and one lead, you can receive 10 or 12, 20 or 30 leads that could be further analyzed by itself, one by itself, and actually lead you to a scoping project to understand what you should work on and so forth. And for internal conversations, you could try also switch positions, change hats, yeah? So it's also a common practice, but in our field, security practitioners always have so big egos that they actually cannot overcome it. So if you are by, and they also can do role playing. So if you ask a person that you can now criticize your own idea because you have a role to criticize your own idea, it would be much simpler for him to switch to this criticizing role. Also, there are many different other more effective techniques to communicate with people. What's important is not to be constrained by simple procedures. You need to look at what works and what not. It's also some type of social engineering, I'd say. When you are done with people, you are left successful or not, you are left with documentation. The one that you've received from the customer or the one that you've generated with while you were working with people. What should I mention here? What's important and what mistakes should be avoided? Remember we spoke about don't be creator, yeah? Don't rewrite papers. You are not yet another engineer hired to rewrite once again technical description of something. technical description of something is required to creators to evolve products and not for analysts. And in our practice, I've seen pretty angry engineers that have seen analyst reports and were angry that it was actually engineering type of documentation and it was bad type of engineering documentation. So don't do it. Use some type of tools that are not pushing you to generate large amount of text. Use schemes, use diagrams, use anything but text at some point, use mind maps, whatever. But don't try to generate a lot of text and copy-paste the text from system description, technical description of infrastructure, or code documentation. It's useless. It's useless for engineers. It's useless for your team if you're analysts and pen testers are working with your documentation. You're basically doing the same work creators does, doing it in worse way than creators. Try, and also it's important while working with documentation to find structure. What's missing? What type of documents are missing? And I'm here, and in all my talk, I'm not referencing to auditing projects. When you have strict workflow, you have strict checklists, it's okay, but these projects are also nowadays, I guess it would be next problem. For example, for PCI DSS, major concern now that everybody is accustomed with PCI DSS and organization are starting to get around PCI DSS requirements to get certifications. And it would be major concern, I guess, in a few years. Many of these checked systems would be compromised due to a lack of performance from security assessment teams because they were pushed by customers to do to look away when they're doing security assessment. It's a big problem. Yeah, PCI console looks out for reports, rechecks them, but that's a problem. So, once again, we're remembering this fallen hero. If you have many of documentations from interviews, from docs that you've received, or even technical logs that you have generated during your assessment stages, how it should be organized? You see, people always interested in working with brainstorm and mind maps, for example. If you have 10 people and they brainstorm for 1 hour and generate mind map, 1 hour, 10 people, mind map, you'll spend a lot of time next day trying to understand what you have generated day before. And if you try to understand it in a month when you've forgotten it all, it's not actionable. You can try to get one item out of this mind map and go for actions. So this basic products of analytical works, they need to be parsed. You need to understand what should be done with them. If you are if you have generated a lot of artifacts and you need to come to some conclusion, artifacts is not conclusion. You need to do something with artifacts and generate conclusion. And I suggest you give a look to the tool called Affinity Diagram. It's basically the process to organize brainstorm and the mind map process after it's done. It's the next step. And what's interesting that many people heard about mind map. I guess everybody could raise a hand if I ask what is mind map is, do you know it? But it's somewhere like comparing the skill of writing and writing a book. Everybody can write, but not many people write in books. Other interesting ideas and important ideas, what we are pinning down in many projects, that you better list everything you are coming across. You better list artifacts. You better list people who you need to contact. You better have itemized lists of every thing actually you are coming across, because it would be the interface of communication between different pen testers or pen testers and analysts, or analysts and customer. And what's interesting that actually you would be probably speaking different languages inside team, and definitely you'll be speaking different languages with outsiders, because they have their own identification systems. They are changing, these systems are changing, and this change is not seen by you. You can perceive it. So we are almost there. We are done with gathering information. We have organized chaos. What we need to do next? To create report. And here comes the problem. When you ask a person to write a report, he sits and starts to write. Yeah? Okay, what's the problem with that? The problem is that from the manager point of view is that I have to read everything he's writing. And if he's going to wrong direction and generating, in he's efficient in generating texts, I get a lot of useless texts that I even can't explain how to change to be correct. And person is okay, he's smart, he's proficient, he's an expert in some skull-breaking technology, but we need to communicate his knowledge to the customer to get value out of our project. From business standpoint, we need to continue to work with this customer to get more works for us. But for that, we need a bright report understandable by managers. Okay, everybody's heard about few levels of reporting for managers, for technical guys, for everybody else. Yeah, that's correct. But how you generate this text? Don't try to write it straight ahead. Try to outline first. Try to get a plan of report and communicate it to the customer or to management or across the team. Try to get what we call width depth switching process. When you first of all you are getting outline, that you are writing down an example of the description of one, for example, vulnerability. How it would be described. Like in project text, we are getting this template, and here we go. These guys was from bank, and these guys would be from oil industry, so we are giving away these risks of money transfer, and they have different risks, but concepts like that. Okay, got clarification, can proceed with more text, but don't generate it straight ahead. It's wrong, almost often. Okay, so if we are speaking of reports, some analytics, we're going into some charts. Here I've brought to you perfect pie chart, which is absolutely correct, and you can't argue with that. But what's important is to avoid extremes, avoid to be too obvious, avoid to be to put pictures that could be considered preconceived, so you are pushing person, you are arranging facts the way that person is pushed to take your point of view. And what I've learned from communicating with top-level executives, these guys actually are paid to sense this type of stuff. They are might be not the brightest technical guys, but they are very well understand when they're being manipulated. So avoid this, or you will get red flagged, and your reports would be looked into deeper to find out what you are pushing people to do. Same stuff with reports. Don't push to extremes. Don't to try to find balanced way to talk to people. And don't restrict to basic instruments, but don't neglect them. The main problem, though, is that even very basic stuff, the stuff that is boring people to death, Excel pie charts, okay, they need to be done right. because it's very important to be able to understand at least something from pie charts from report. Here you see examples 1 and 2. It's the same data set. And one I've got on inbound, second I've put in report. What's different? You can't, for example, understand relations between parts in first one, and actually you can't understand anything from first one, any numbers, because they are not sorted, they are not turned the correct side, and so forth. So it's very basic, but if you see ever in pie chart yearly growth of something, be aware, it's very wrong. Read or push your young researchers to read at least basic descriptions in Excel, and they have pretty well written what these instruments are for and what they are not, should not be used for. Or other extreme we have. If you are pushing something like this in your report, even if you can very well explain what this plot or this structure is outlining, what's these numbers, what's these lines, you have everything described, it take too much brain power to understand. It's more of arts, not useful instrument. Actually, it's not for laws here. I urge you to give a look. It's a very useful instrument. You can Google it by the number periodic table of visualization. It's in the internet. It's developed by some guys. I'm not sure who they are. What's interesting, they've managed to understand or to try to understand what every method of visualization is for regarding when it should be used to interscope or to get knowledge of process, to structure visualization or to brainstorm more ideas. And if you hover over any of these elements, you will get example. It's very useful, actually. It's what could be used straight ahead to get ideas which way to turn or which tool to use. And when you've done with figuring out, you can, for example, use some existing instrument, calc sheets, for example, to try to bring your ideas to life. For example, here it's actual report from some of our work, and here with some Excel magic, we have understanding from tools like, I guess, Nmap, Nessus, and a few other tools where cross-verifying results and getting analysts could also write in checkboxes, color them during the phase of coordination, and so forth. So it's could be made without engineering complex software straight ahead, because afterwards you understand that some of the stuff is useful, some could be still made in Excel, some shouldn't be used at all, and so forth. Prototype, it's easy, it's and not straightforward, not go straightforward to development some software for analysis. Okay, start really to make some tree map, how we done it for some large enterprise system, and try to use it during analysis. Oh, it's hypnotizes me. Okay. Anyway, you can use instruments to fast prototype stuff. Yeah, it should be done not as in complex software. You don't need to collect requirements and do this all the stuff to make an instrument for analytics to work, because you're not going to give it out to customer, you're going to use it in bounds. So then, if the instrument is okay, you can try to rewrite it and make it an instrument for public use, but not start with it. And why I'm speaking about that having a software development background, running into security analysts, which is the main part of my team right now, they are not actually very well acknowledged with software development process. It's a very interesting concept. They understand what is program. They can write programs by itself, but they are not very well understand the software engineering, and they are not into that stuff. So you have to think for them. And build your own system. By system, I don't mean software system, but software and communication and organizational system. Any stuff that goes from outside into your team could be used in some or other way to some to some point. But actually, it's almost always not fits 100%. So see what works, what not, what's good, what's not. And if we are successful, all of us here, so we have returning customers. That's the main idea in services and in sales. So we are giving people reports every quarter. We have one report, second report, third report, fourth report. These charts are different. Your conscience might tell you the opposite, but they are different. And what's interesting that executives looking upon them, they don't get it. And it's and I understand them because they are getting a report which differs only in small portions of data. We've had this type of vulnerability. They don't look for descriptions. They look for stats. They look for vulnerabilities growth, vulnerabilities fixed, critical stuff being removed, and so forth. So what they are trying doing straight forward when opening the paper, they are actually starting to look on pictures, and they see pretty much the same pictures. So what should be done if you are planning to continue work with the same organization, same people, actually, you need to put in your report comparison. Current state, previous state. This works much better than given, and somehow people are, they understand what's different between all these numbers, but customer, final customer, doesn't see facts. It sees, he sees only statistics. Okay, so I shouldn't explain that computer slang, hacking slang, is pretty tough to understand. And I've seen very interesting examples how, for example, CEO, CIOs doesn't give anything actually about what we call critical errors. So you should be talking with them same language. And it's not that hard actually, as you've seen, to start to communicate their language. You need to learn some concepts, even you can ask your team to learn some concepts from gap analysis or SWOT. Only thing I ask is that you understand it pretty well to be able to check, because these instruments are pretty easily misused. For example, you can use the wrong words for wrong type of words to describe some elements, and customer will pretty much notice it. Okay, so that's pretty much all. I've summarized what we spoke about, but you all listened, so I guess I wouldn't repeat it. Get your ninjas ready. They now would be able to hack better. It was a pleasure talking to you. Thank you. Me and my team was really excited to prepare this talk and give it to you here. We are interested in cooperation worldwide. So if you're interested in exchanging ideas, discussing methodologies, working on some projects, have some interests in Russia or regions that we're also present or visiting often, I'll be most excited to talk to you. Thank you.